Hey everyone, it's Pastor Micah, lead pastor here at High Praise Crestview. I want to say thank you for choosing to listen to today's podcast. I want to encourage you to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening from today, and go connect with us on social media as well. My prayer is that as you listen to this message, you're encouraged, blessed, and transformed by the power of the Word of God. Now open your heart and get ready to receive what God wants to speak to you today. Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. As a matter of fact, along with the Restored Seminar, I sat down right back in the back row, and I mean the back row that Alex and his family's on back there. They're in the back because, man, we are full today. So I was sitting right back there, as a matter of fact, probably exactly where you're sitting, Mr. Alex, and I looked up at the screen on the Restored Seminar, and it said healing for spirit, soul, and body, and I found it interesting because if you were here last week, we kicked off a series called Supernatural, where we're understanding and embracing the power and the gifts of the Spirit flowing and operating in the church. And we've been kind of diving into this because I believe that God is doing something within our church, and there is an outpouring of His glory for High Praise Crestview like we've never seen before, like we haven't seen in the first 4 years of this church. I believe that God is birthing something new within us, and there's going to be signs, wonders, and miracles that are going to begin to break forth. I believe that the prophetic word of the Lord that brings life and edification and comfort to the believer is about to begin to spring forth in this church in a way that has never happened in the 4 years, and even beyond that, that's never even happened in the city of Crestview before. I believe that we are on the brink of something big, and God is doing awesome things. But before we can see manifestation, there has to be a revelation knowledge before manifestation happens. Dad's always said it like this, that revelation precedes manifestation. And so before we can manifest the gifts of the Spirit, before we can manifest the power of the Holy Ghost, before we can manifest these things, we actually have to have an understanding of the supernatural and of the spiritual realm. And guess what? There really is a supernatural and a spiritual realm. If you don't believe there is a supernatural or a spiritual realm, that would mean that you don't believe that you're born again. If you're born again, something supernatural happened in the birthing process. I talked about it last week, but whenever Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, Nicodemus goes, "Hey, do I have to go back to my mama before I'm reborn?" And Jesus goes, No. Listen, what I'm doing is spiritual." And so the rebirthing process that Jesus does is something supernatural. The Holy Spirit does, should I say, is something supernatural. It is spiritual in nature. And so we have to understand that we are supernatural in nature because we are born again. And the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, is now living and dwelling within our mortal bodies. Now here is the kicker. Are you ready for this? Because some of y'all, your hair, y'all thought last week your hair was back in the wind. Some of y'all, for those that have the hair still, your hair's really going to be back in the wind whenever I say this. There is spiritual warfare also that happens in the supernatural and the spiritual realms. Amen. We believe at High Praise, we believe that we are called to be people who are armed with the armor of God, that fight the good fight of faith, not with people, but with spirits tearing down principalities and powers of the air. And I want to arm you with understanding of what spiritual warfare should look like and what it shouldn't look like, because I'm ahead of myself, but it's okay. This is going to be the anointing of Dad is on me because he's here. He used to say this, okay? He used to say, this is an open, I'm going to preach by the letter method, which means this, open her up and let her fly, okay? And I'm about to just preach. I'm going to prophesy. We're going to go in and out of this, but I want to read the scripture first, okay? Ephesians chapter 6, because I'll be honest with you, I got like 19 pages of notes. Not really 19, but I got a lot of notes, and there's no way I'm getting to everything, so I'm just going to give you like a big punch of the notes real quick, okay? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 through 17. Finally, my brethren, this is Paul writing, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Somebody say, I ain't wrestling you. Okay, look at your neighbor and say, we're not fighting. Okay? We don't fight against flesh and blood, but against what? principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in where? The heavenly places, in the spiritual realms, in the supernatural. And then it goes on to say this, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand, therefore, having girded your waist with, it says, after having everything to do to stand, guess what? Now continue to stand with, and it goes on to talk about the whole and full armor of God that you were to have on. In verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, that which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts. Somebody say, all the fiery darts. All the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Stop right there. So Paul here is highlighting for us the fact that there are principalities, there are powers, there are supernatural principalities and powers that we are called to wage war against. What Paul is not giving us a license to do is to wrestle with people or fight with people. Some of you have an argumentative spirit that you need to rid yourself of. Because you've started fighting with flesh and blood. Stop arguing. I'm about to say something right here. Stop arguing with people and take authority in Christ. Stop going back and forth with spirits even and start exercising the authority and the power that you already have in Christ. If the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus is living and dwelling within you, that means the same authority that gave Jesus the authority over death and the grave is the same spirit that is living in you, giving you authority over every demonic principality and power and stronghold. Stop being the devil's puppet or the devil's punching bag and start punching back and start stabbing some enemies, start tearing down some principalities, because listen, you were not made to be pushed down in the dirt all your days. You were made to be victorious in Christ. Christ made a way for you to be free and set free, and he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You need to arm yourself though. You got to arm yourself. Somebody say the whole armor of God. One thing that I love that Dad said one day, I remember listening to him teaching, and he said, when you put on the armor of God, you look like God. Think about that for a second. I'll give you one, two, you got it yet? Three. It's called the armor of what? Not the armor of men. Not the armor that looks like God, like looks sort of-ish like God. Not the armor of angels. Yeah. It specifically says the armor of God. That means whenever you arm yourself with the armor of the Lord, when you shod the shoes of peace, whenever you have your your breastplate of righteousness, when you have the helmet of salvation, you have all these, the belt of truth, all these things, which y'all know, I was going to share a series on the whole armor of God and make it real practical for you, but Holy Spirit had a different idea for us, and that's okay. We'll do armor of God another day. But because, here's another thing. Once again, open up, let her fly. The armor is not some ethereal thing. There's practicality to the armor of God. The belt of truth. What is the belt of truth? It's knowing the truth of the word of God so you're not caught with your pants down. I don't want to catch you like that. The breastplate of righteousness, it protects your heart, realizing that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The shield of faith, it quenches the fiery darts, which means this, I believe in faith, and every negative and doubtful and lying word is blocked because I believe and I'm firmly grounded in faith. The helmet of salvation reminds you that you are saved. No matter what the enemy is lying to you, you're saved. We could go on, the shoes of peace. The God of peace will soon crush Satan. When you have peace, Satan's plans are crushed under your feet. We all know what the sword of the Spirit's for. We're going to chop off the head of the devil, okay? We're going to tear down some principalities and powers. Paul wouldn't say this, though, if there was no need for spiritual warfare. The bottom line is there really is demons. There really is devils. There really is witchcraft. There really is demonic works. There really is demonic principalities and powers. And Luke 10:19, it tells us this. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to, somebody shout, overcome. and overcome all the power of the enemy. This is the bottom line. You can speak and command for demons to leave, and they have to leave. You may want to write this down. The enemy does not have a choice to disobey the word of God. When you speak the word, the enemy has to obey whatever the word says, because it cannot supersede or have more power than what Jesus has spoken. And anytime you begin to allow the enemy to speak louder than the word of God in your life, or with more authority than the word of God in your life, you actually are empowering the words of the enemy and lifting up them up higher than the word of God. But as soon as you begin to lift high the word of God, whenever you begin to lift Jesus high, whenever you begin to lift what the word says high, it supersedes and crushes demonic principalities and powers. This is why you got to know your Bible. Amen. This is why you've got to know the word and know how to read the word in context. Yes. This is why we're big about talking about context in our churches. We want you to understand what the word of God actually means by things. Now let's read this other scripture. I don't have this in the notes back there, just so you know. But Isaiah 54 and 17 says this: no weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, which means there's weapons that will be formed against you. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. What's that mean? That means there will be tongues, there will be people that lie, there will be spirits, principalities and powers, influences of demonic oppression and so on and so forth that will lie. But every tongue that rises against you, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. This is the bottom line. If the weapon is formed but doesn't prosper, who does? Come on. I'm going to ask you that again, because some of y'all thinking, y'all start questioning, well, I don't know. If the weapon is formed but doesn't prosper, who does? Weapons are not formed unless there is a battle. Unless there is a fight going on. And at the end of a fight, guess what? I don't know who won. The only people that do that is NFL, and it really needs to stop, okay? We need an ending to these games. There's not a, we'll call it a draw. Like, no. Somebody comes out the victor. Somebody comes out with the W. Somebody comes out with a win, and it's not the Florida State Seminoles. You be quiet. Every tongue that rises does. He said, "Roll Tide." Y'all, I'm a Noles fan, but I just know not to watch anymore. I told somebody in my church. Somebody said, "You see how bad we got beat last night?" I said, "Yeah, I didn't want to have to go through LRM again, so I didn't watch it." It was horrible. But if the weapon is formed, but doesn't prosper, who does? That means this. If the weapon is formed but doesn't prosper, I prosper. I win. If it doesn't prosper, I prosper. If it can't bring me down, that means that I'm standing up. If it can't defeat me, that means that I am winning. If it can't come against me and overcome me, that means that I have the victory. So if the weapon is formed against me but doesn't prosper, I will. Look at somebody say, I will prosper. The bottom line is spiritual war is happening now. Spiritual warfare is taking place even now. It's a real thing. The war between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdoms of darkness. For as long as there's been hell, there has been war, and we're still in the battle today, but praise God that we know the end of the story. You can read the Bible, and you know the end of the story, and the end of the story is you are victorious through Christ. The end of the story is thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph. The end of the story is that I have victory through Jesus, and that you are the overcomer, and that you win. That is the end of the story, but this is the funny thing, okay? The enemy says that the Bible says that the enemy goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The key word there is like. It didn't say that he is the lion. He says he goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he devour. In other words, it means that he can only contort and make things look as ways that he is not even. Meaning he can look more powerful. He can try to manipulate and contort himself to look more powerful than he actually is. And that is the goal, and that is what the enemy does. That's one of the tactics of the enemy. The funny thing is, the devil already knows the ending, but he is still fighting.
Yeah.
Can somebody say, dumb devil? Like, man, you got to be some sort of dumb to still be throwing haymakers at me, okay? That's all I'm saying. The enemy is some kind of dumb for coming against me, who I know the ending of the story, and though I may be facing something right now, I know this is not the outcome, because his outcome is good and only good. Because if God is in the middle of writing my story and it's not good, then he's not done with me yet, and there's greater victory and goodness to be seen on my life. Amen. The Bible says, once again, we fight not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual war. Now, the bottom line is, a spiritual war does have natural effects. Okay? There are things that manifest. We talked about this a little bit last week, how the soul is like a valve that we can close up or we can open up, and we can be somebody that helps open up the soul so the spirit can flow, or we can be someone who helps shut the valve of the spirit, which means the enemy can oppress. Because the spirit's not flowing through that person, now there is not something to push back the gates of hell and push back against darkness. We fight not against flesh and blood. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 5 says this, "For we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Now, when natural things manifest, and I've seen manifestations, demonic manifestations, I've seen demonic oppression, I've seen demonic possession, I've seen demonic influence, I've seen these things. Let me just, while I'm here, let me say this real quickly. Some of y'all go, "Well, Pastor, I've never seen that before. I've never seen a demonic oppression or a demonic influence of the heart." Well, let me just let you know something. If you've never had the revelation knowledge, really true revelation knowledge that there is demonic principalities and powers, if you haven't had the revelation knowledge of the authority in Christ that you have, this is the thing. The enemy is not going to expose itself to people who don't understand it. Meaning this, I want you to hear with the ears of the Spirit right now. If the enemy can hide in the bushes of your heart but still have influence over what you're doing, he is not going to manifest. Because as soon as it starts manifesting around somebody who understands the authority of Christ, it knows it ain't stand a chance in the hot place. There is not a chance that it stays in that person or in that way, because people of power and authority in Christ know how to cast demonic principalities and powers out or far from people. I've seen manifestations. I've seen people squirming. I remember being in a Eddie James. We had Eddie James at High Praise Panama City years and years ago. And there was a young lady who, man, she was getting some deliverance. And I don't know if you remember this, she began to scream. And I'm talking about, if you've ever been or heard Eddie James, y'all think we're loud, they blow speakers loud, okay? Like, that's how loud they push their sound. And I remember, I mean, they were loud, they were going after it. And this young lady was laying at the altar, and she was screaming louder than the music that was going on. And I remember people going over there, some people who didn't understand what I say this, that didn't fully understand the revelation knowledge of the authority in Christ that we have, and went over and began to have a shouting match with this lady who was manifesting at this time. And just, come on. But what you have to realize is this. Your authority is not found in your volume level. Your authority is found in who you are in Christ and understanding the power of the Spirit that is living and dwelling within you. I believe I can whisper to demonic principalities and powers and they have to flee. I believe that I can say, you. Anybody ever gotten onto their kids before? I did it this morning. I was over here during first song and Reagan's over here. I don't remember what part of this was. We were singing, I ran out. That's the part where I take my hands off the keys for a second, and I went like this. And right back at it. You don't want to know what it was? I didn't have to yell at him to get his attention. And I didn't have to yell at him to tell him, hey, straighten up. He knew whenever I looked at him, and I said, he knew the authority that dad has in his life. He knew the authority that his father had in his life. Can I tell you, when you walk in the authority of the Father, when you walk in the authority of Jesus, when you walk in the authority of the Spirit, the enemy knows that authority, and you don't have to yell and scream. You don't have to, listen to me, there's nothing wrong with this, but I want you to hear me. You don't even have to go through your house, and if your kids are being influenced by the enemy, you don't have to go in there and start putting everything everywhere and all this. Man, you can walk in your house and go, in the name of Jesus, I bind every principality and power and demonic stronghold. Anything that's the influence of the heart right now, I command it to go now. And Jesus, you don't have to scream about it. It's about the authority that you have in Christ, not your volume level. And some people like to make, I am way ahead of myself. Some people like to make a spiritual warfare a spectacle. It's called spiritual warfare. I've said this before, not spiritual weirdfare. You are not a clown. Stop acting like it. Spiritual warfare is not supposed to be this big spectacle where we got to be crazy and floops, fluglies, and wild and just acting and doing things for doing things. Now, I've been in services where the Spirit of God is being poured out and there is prophetic acts and demonstrations that we do in alignment with the Word of God that God is calling us to do in a certain moment, and there's been freedom and deliverance and so on and so forth happening in that. Just like baptism is spiritual, it is a physical act, but it's actually a very prophetic act, which is funny to me because people who don't believe in prophecy also baptize people. But anyways, the whole other thing. But it's a prophetic act that we actually do whenever we baptize people. It's about something inward that's already happened within you, but now we're going public with our faith, and it's a prophetic act of obedience that we're doing in accordance to Scripture. So sometimes sometimes in services, there will be times where we say, hey, we feel like, just like Joshua at Jericho, whenever they lifted a shout unto the Lord, the walls of Jericho came crumbling down. I feel like that's a prophetic act right now. We need to shout. And you know what? That's not weird when it's in accordance to the Word of God. Now, whenever we start talking about shooting laser beams from our fingers at the devil, that's a little weird. Yeah. Pew, 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 pew. Like, holster them, all right? That's a little strange. Anyways, we're not doing spiritual warfare. We're doing spiritual warfare. I got way off topic. But you can't overcome the natural you can't overcome the natural or things that are manifesting in the natural by fighting in the natural. You have to take that fight to the Spirit. Yeah. Simon tries to do that. When Jesus is being taken away, Simon pulls the sword and goes, shing, right, takes off the guard's ear. And Jesus says, hey, your flesh is showing. Yeah. Put the sword away. And Jesus heals the man's ear. And oftentimes we like to be the Simon Peters that our flesh arises, and we like to fight back and argue with people and we are keyboard warriors on Facebook, yeah. Instagram, Twitter, and all that. Not even, if we're honest, most of the time we're not even keyboard warriors over the kingdom. We're keyboard warriors over our president or who we want to be president. Yeah. Or we're keyboard warriors over our political lean or whatever it may be. Maybe it may be something that you support or you don't support, whatever that is. We like to be really, really keyboard warriors about these things in the natural that go on rather than taking it to the supernatural and the spiritual. You will never win wars in the spirit by fighting in the natural. The only thing you do by trying to win wars in the natural and not in the spirit is create bigger problems in the spirit.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that again because that's good. When you try to fight natural manifestations of influences of darkness in the natural, you don't affect the supernatural in a positive way. All you do is create more harm. Because the people that you are called to minister to and the people that you're trying to influence and the people that you are trying to push back the gates of hell from, all you're doing is driving a further wedge between you and them. And so they shut their ears off to even hear what the Spirit of God could say through you because you are too busy trying to argue and fight over little things here and there that are manifesting in the natural. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
Fight not against flesh and blood. Principalities, powers. Many times that we're slinging swords for everyone to see, but we aren't making changes. We're really just hurting people around us.
Good.
When you try to weaponize the Word of God in the natural, that can also create harm. And when I say weaponize, please understand, I mean it like this. Using scripture out of context or using scripture to hurt people. When your intent is, I want to hurt this person using the word of God, you are weaponizing the word in the wrong way. The way that the weapon of the sword of the Spirit should be used is to tear down principalities and powers of darkness and to cut chains off of people's lives. And sometimes, when you disagree with someone and their stance on something, one of the best things to do sometimes is walk away and pray.
Yeah.
Walk away and declare the word of the Lord over them. But whenever you get into these arguments and shouting matches, man, you're not doing any help. You're creating more harm.
Yeah.
Bottom line is the enemy. Devil is the enemy of your soul, and he wants you to give in to sin and fleshly desires. And one of those fleshly desires is to war the flesh. Because oftentimes we want to, our flesh shows up first, even before our spirit sometimes. And that's where we got to guard ourselves and realize that we got to walk in the spirit so we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, so that we won't act in such a way. But at the same time, listen to me, there's a balance. Because we also have to understand that we are called to be powerful people. You are called to be a powerful person. You are called to be a person of authority. And passivity will often, pride and passivity will also become the enemies of our power, of the supernatural power that is in you. Whenever you think you've got it all together, that's pride and that's an enemy of power. Because now you start speaking from a place where you think you are high and mighty and got it all figured out. And so that is actually at war against your power. But then there's passivity where you are a people pleaser and you will never stand up for the kingdom of God because you are too much like, well, we just got to accept. Understand why I use the word accept? We have to accept in the way of condoning everyone's behavior. And that is passive and not okay either. We're still called to call sin, sin. Unrighteousness, unrighteousness. Ungodliness, ungodliness. You as a Christian still have to hold that standard. However, holding that standard doesn't mean being mean, but it does mean holding it with authority, holding it in accordance to the scripture, holding it in accordance to the word of God. Amen. We cannot afford to be passive when the Bible clearly tells us that the enemy is looking to attack you. Why else would you wear the armor of God? Because the enemy's trying to pull you down roads that you should never be on. The bottom line is this. Listen to me, you can't overcome what you aren't willing to fight. You got to be willing to fight some principalities and powers of darkness. If not, you can't overcome them. You can't let the devil be your bully. When the bully of Satan comes around, stand up to him. Don't give in. Don't believe his lies. We have too many people that back down when the attack or the bully of the enemy comes. We must not back down. We must be righteous. Listen, understand that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says that the righteous are as bold as a lion. Man, boldness should be within you whenever you are standing with God. Because you're righteous. Listen, you'll never be more righteous than you are right now. If you're saved, call on the name of the Lord, you'll never be more righteous than you are right now. Okay? It's his righteousness in you. Which means you can have boldness. And you can proclaim boldly the word of God. Amen? Y'all still with me? I'm coming to a close. I won't keep you too much longer. Spiritual warfare, though, let's talk about this once again. It shouldn't be weird. It shouldn't be flaky. It should be in accordance to the scripture. And if we're doing things in accordance to the scripture, it won't be weird. And it won't be flaky. And let me say this too, while we're talking about weird and flaky. I've been in circles before that everything is a demon. I went through the Starbucks drive-thru again. It's a demon. No, you lack self-control. It's not a demon. Pastor, I don't know what to do with my finances because I went to Starbucks. I went out to eat 3 times this week. I bought my kids new shoes, and it was only because they really wanted them. It's not because they needed them. And I did this and did that with my money. But, man, I just feel like the spirit of poverty is attacking me. No, it's not. The spirit of you don't know what to do with your money is attacking you. That's not spiritual warfare. That's just being a faithful person or an unfaithful person. Not everything is a demon. Oh, Pastor, the devil got me because I've been going through it this week. Me and my wife been arguing nonstop, and we almost got physical, and I knew it was the devil. Well, how many drinks did you have? Y'all laugh, but let's be serious in this room. Some people need to just realize it's not demons, it's you making poor decisions. And guess what? You have to live with the decisions that you make. Not everything is a demon. Some things are just the consequences of and results of living in a fallen world. Let's talk about, we just had a Hurricane Helene, which, I mean, praise God that, you know, here on our coast, we didn't experience much, but guess what? There were people that love the Lord, that follow Him, that have experienced loss through this hurricane. Yeah. It wasn't God. Right. God didn't send His judgment. And guess what? It wasn't the devil. The devil did not hocus pocus, make a hurricane nocus. Like, he didn't get in there and, like, stir up things, you know. Right. Hurricanes are a natural result of weather patterns. Yeah. And other environmental issues and things going on. Like, this is, there's a bigger thing. And guess what? None of which is spiritual. This is results of living in a fallen world with weather patterns and all these kind of things, and destruction happens. Things do happen. However, we can believe for a hedge of protection around us, and we prophesy, and we declare that. We declare Psalm 91 over us whenever these things start happening. We do whatever we pray for it, and we also do everything in the natural that we need to do to prepare for it. If you don't think that that is what you should do, and you think it was God, then I just say don't ever evacuate. Don't do anything to prepare, because God wants to send a hurricane to you. Well, thank you for the overwhelming response this morning. If you believe it's just going to be what it'll be, baby, it'll be. Baby is meant to be. Then at night, just leave your doors wide open for anybody to come in. No, we still do things practically in the natural, because not everything's a demon, and there are things that we do that are just smart things to do. To prepare and be saved and so on and so forth. But however, once again, there really is demonic principalities that we are called to have authority over, but not everything is a demon. Amen? Amen. Now, I know there's a lot of arguments over oppression, possession, depression of demonic influence, all these things. I'm not going to argue about it, because this is where I stand, and I told our LRM this yesterday. As far as I am, I don't want any demons near me. So I don't care if it's a possession, oppression, depression, some session, or whatever it is. I just don't want the devil near me or near you at all. So whatever it is, I'm going to prophesy, and I'm going to speak to, and I'm going to tell it to be gone. Be gone in Jesus' name. Now, I really am in my final close. I want to end with this. There's an old saying. And I think this is the state of many in the church even. And you may not even realize this has been the stance or where you've been. But there's an old saying that ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is bliss. Can I just let you know today, in the supernatural, ignorance is not bliss. It's not bliss. There is no, understand, there's no Switzerland. Meaning, just in the middle. Like, either one. I was talking to somebody one day. I was taking a young man through some counseling, as a matter of fact. And this young man, I said, "Are you following the Lord?" And the young man said, "Well, no, not really." I said, "Well, are you atheist?" "Well, no, not really." "Well, are you Wiccan?" "No, not that." "What are you?" He said, "I'm just somewhere like in the middle." And I looked at him and I said that. I said, "There is no Switzerland here. There is no middle ground in spiritual things. You are either in the kingdom or you are befriending darkness. There is no middle ground. You don't like kind of love Jesus, like kind of love the enemy, like even saying that I agnostic or atheist and so forth is still putting yourself in some sort of place, and you're actually befriending darkness in those times. Let me encourage you and let you know, ignorance is not bliss. The bottom line is this. The scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 2:11, do not be ignorant of the enemy's schemes. That's what the scripture says. Don't be ignorant. Don't be dumbfounded. Don't just be about the enemy's schemes, but rather know what they are. So acting like war isn't happening in the spiritual realm doesn't exempt you from the effects of spiritual warfare. You are still fully in this warfare, but some of us are standing out in the middle of the battle wondering what's going on. You know what happens if you send somebody to war with no weapons and don't know what's going on? They're going to die. Life is not going to be on their side. You send somebody, and so many of us, we fight in the spirit, or we are in the spirit, and we're literally just standing in the middle of a war zone, not sure what's going on. And I'm empowering you today to know this, that whenever you come to High Praise, you are armed with weapons of spiritual warfare, not just for Sundays, but for Mondays. You are armed for Tuesdays. You are armed for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and we're back at Sunday. Our goal is not just to preach good messages. Our goal is to equip the believer. Our goal is not just to have pretty sermons, because if you want a pretty sermon, you came to the wrong church. There are people that have much prettier sermons than I do. I yell a lot. Not everybody likes that. I get really excited about the Word of God, and I try to empower you. I'm a coach up here, man. I'm coaching you. I'm equipping you. I'm giving you the tools that you need. But I cannot follow you home and make you use the tools. I cannot follow you home and make sure you're using those weapons of spiritual warfare that you know you should be using on the daily. This is now when you leave this place, it is something that you are going to have to make a decision and go, I'm going to arm myself with the full armor of God. I'm going to realize that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm going to realize that the shoes of peace are on me and I can have peace in every situation and every storm and every circumstance, that I am saved, the helmet of salvation is on, that I know the Word of God, that the belt of truth is surely around my waist, that I can walk with the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. There's got to be that revelation that you live in on the daily, and a daily walk that you have if you want to overcome the spiritual warfare, if you want to overcome the kingdoms and principalities of darkness. But the bottom line is this, you have been given authority over all the authority of the enemy, and through the power of God within you, and you making sure you're wearing the armor of God, and you make sure you know His word, and you speak His word, and you don't fight against people, but you fight against principalities and powers. When you do that, I want you to know something, friend, that victory is surely yours. The odds are fully in your favor, that the kingdoms of darkness cannot overcome the kingdom of light, and there will be victory in every situation and every circumstance. If you believe it, will you stand up and give God a hand clap, a victorious shout of praise today? Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Will you lift your hands to the Lord real quickly? I want to pray over us this morning. Father God, I thank you for this word. We say yes and amen to the word of God. We receive it now. We receive a fresh revelation knowledge and understanding of spiritual warfare. We receive a fresh revelation knowledge and understanding of the power of the Holy Ghost that is living within us. We receive and we understand right now a fresh understanding of the need for daily arming ourselves with the armor of God. We receive and we even understand now that you've given victory into our hands, that we can overcome all the powers of darkness because your Spirit is living within us. Lord, I speak to every heart. I speak to every mind. Every demonic principality and power must come down now by the authority of Jesus. Right now, I speak to every heart and every mind, and any influence of demonic darkness that has been oppressing or on the heart right now, I command, be free now in Jesus' mighty name. For he whom the Son sets free is free, and he's free indeed. So right now, we thank you for victory. We thank you for triumph. We thank you for power from on high, and we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for everything you've done, everything you're doing, and everything you're going to do. In Jesus' mighty name, if you believe it, will you give God a hand clap and a shout of praise?